Hi, this is Mrs. English. We are reading from Paradise Lost by John Milton, and we are now in Book 5. Remember that in Book 4, Satan went to the new world, to the new place that he heard that God loved even more than, and the creatures that God loved even more than the angels, and he spied on Adam and Eve, and we saw some beautiful pictures, word pictures painted about Adam and Eve. Satan changed himself into the shape of a toad and was found whispering in Eve's ear, and he was captured and questioned and said, "You would try and get out of here if you could also, and Uriel is stalking around. He's the guard there on Earth, and he has been discovered." The angels, when they see him, they're shocked. We saw that in line, I think, 828. Satan couldn't believe it. "Know ye not me?" Couldn't believe that they could not recognize him. About line 852 or 53 in Book 4, Satan was basically saying, "Take me to your leader. If I must contend," he said, "be with the best. I'm not going to even talk to you. The sender, not the sent. Whoever sent you, that's who I will talk with, because more glory will be won." And of course, that's the old heroic idea of glory, which is the kleos. If you have done the little bit of Greek we do in the Iliad and Odyssey, he is looking to collect glory. And he, of course, was looking for a better place to live also. He doesn't like it in the hot place. Book 5, The Argument. Morning approached. Eve relates to Adam her troublesome dream. He likes it not, yet comforts her. They come forth to their day labors, their morning hymn at the door of their bower. God, to render man inexcusable, sends Raphael to admonish him of his obedience, of his free estate, of his enemy near at hand, who he is and why his enemy, and whatever else may avail Adam to know. Raphael comes down to paradise, his appearance described, his coming discerned by Adam afar, off, sitting at the door of his bower. He goes out to meet him, brings him to his lodge, entertains him with the choicest fruits of paradise got together by Eve, their discourse at table. Raphael performs his message, minds Adam, reminds him of his state and of his enemy, relates at Adam's request who that enemy is and how he came to be so, beginning from his first revolt in heaven and the occasion thereof, how he drew his legions after him to the parts of the north and there incited them to rebel with him, persuading all but only Abdiel, a seraph, who in argument dissuades and opposes him, then forsakes him. Book 5, line 1. Now morn, her rosy steps in the eastern clime, advancing, sowed the earth with orient pearl. When Adam waked, so customed, for his sleep was airy light, from pure digestion bred, and temperate vapors bland, which the only sound of leaves and fuming rills, auroras fan, lightly dispersed, and the shrill matin song, the morning song of birds, on every bough, so much the more his wonder was to find unawakened Eve, with tresses decomposed and glowing cheek, line 10, as through unquiet rest, he on his side leaning half-raised, with looks of cordial love, hung over her enamored, and beheld beauty, which, whether waking or sleeping, shot forth peculiar graces, then with voice mild, as when Zephyrus on Flora breathes, which means, with the classical imagery, as when the wind breathes on flowers, her hand soft touching, whispered thus, "Awake, my fairest, my espoused," which means you are my spouse, "my latest found, heaven's last best gift." Here in Book 5, line 19, is my favorite quote from all of Milton, when Adam describes Eve as heaven's last best gift. If I ever write a book, that will be the title of my book. "Heaven's last best gift, my ever new delight. Awake! The morning shines, and the fresh field calls us. We lose the prime to mark how spring our tended plants. How blows the citron grove? You know, how are the oranges doing? What drops the myrrh, and what the balmy reed? How nature paints her colors? How the bee sits on the bloom extracting sweet liquid? Get up, Eve, you're missing out. We could watch the bees doing their business this morning. Line 25. Such whispering waked her, but with startled eye on Adam, whom embracing, thus she spake, O soul, in whom my thoughts find all repose, my glory, my perfection, glad I see thy face and morn returned, for I this night, such night till this I never passed, have dreamed, okay, she had a bad dream, I if dreamed, not as I often want of thee, okay, usually I dream of you, works of day past or morrow's next design, or she dreams of what they did or what they're going to do, but of offense and trouble, which my mind knew never till this irksome night. Methought, line 35, close at mine ear one called me forth to walk with gentle voice. And we, of course, the listener and the reader, realized that was Satan whispering in her ear. Methought, close at mine ear, one called me forth to walk with gentle voice. I thought it thine. It said, Why sleepest thou, Eve? Now is the pleasant time, the cool, the silent, save where silence yields to the night-warbling bird that now awake tunes sweetest his love-labored song. Now reigns full-orbed the moon, and with more pleasing light shadowy sets off the face of things. In vain, if none regard, heaven wakes with all his eyes whom to behold but thee, nature's desire, in whose sight all things joy with ravishment attracted by thy beauty still to gaze. He's telling Eve how beautiful she is. I rose as at thy call, but found thee not. To find thee, I directed then my walk. So she went looking for Adam. And on, methought, alone, I passed through ways, line 50, that brought me on a sudden to the tree of interdicted knowledge. Fair it seemed, much fairer to my fancy than by day. And as I wondering looked, beside it stood one shaped and winged, like one of those from heaven. Line 55, but us oft by us oft seen. Okay, it looked like standing by the tree of knowledge was one of those winged creatures from heaven that we've seen often. His dewy locks distilled ambrosia. On that tree he also gazed, and oh, fair plant, said he, with fruit surcharged, deigns none to ease thy load and taste thy sweet, nor God nor man is knowledge so despised. So in Eve's dream the creature said, Isn't anybody gonna relieve you by picking some of your fruit? Does everyone hate knowledge? Line 60. Or envy, or what reserve forbids to taste. Forbid who will, none shall from me withhold longer thy offered good. Why else set here? This said, he paused not, but with venturous arm he plucked. He tasted, line 65, me damp, horror chilled at such bold words, vouched with a deed so bold. But he, thus overjoyed, O fruit divine, sweet of thyself, but much more sweet thus cropped, forbidden here it seems, as only fit for gods, yet able to make gods of men, line 70. And why not gods of men, since good, the more communicated, more abundant grows, the author not impaired, but honored more. Here, happy creature, fair angelic Eve, line 75, partake thou also, happy though thou art, happier thou mayest be, worthier canst not be, taste this, and be henceforth among the gods, thyself a goddess, not to earth confined, but sometimes in the air as we, sometimes ascend to heaven, by merit thine, and see, line 80, what life the gods live there, and such live thou. So saying, he drew nigh, and to me held, even to my mouth, of that same fruit he held part, which he had plucked, the pleasant savory smell so quickened appetite, that I, methought, could not but taste. Line 85. So in her dream, this angelic being held the fruit so close to her lips that he had just tasted, she thought she couldn't help but taste it. Forthwith up to the clouds with him I flew, and underneath beheld the earth outstretched immense, a prospect wide and various, wondering at my flight and change to this high exaltation. Suddenly my guide was gone, and I, methought, sunk down and fell asleep. But oh, how glad I waked to find this but a dream! Thus Eve her night related, and thus Adam answered, sad. Line 95. Best image of myself. That's what he calls Eve, and dearer half, The trouble of thy thoughts this night in sleep affects me equally, nor can I like this uncouth dream. Of evil sprung, I fear. Yet evil whence? In thee can harbor none? Where could the evil have come from? Created pure, line 100, but know that in the soul are many lesser faculties that serve reason as chief. Among these fancy next her offer holds. Of all external things which the five watchful senses represent, she forms imaginations, airy shapes, which reason, joining or disjoining, frames all what we affirm or what deny. So he says, even though you are good and pure, I know that inside the soul there are some lesser faculties. Reason serves as chief. Remember, this is written in 1667. We are just on the brink of the age of reason, and Milton is denying the validity of that. Line 107. All what we affirm or what deny, and call our knowledge or opinion, then retires into her private cell when nature rests. Oft in her absence, mimic fancy wakes to imitate her, but misjoining shapes wild work produces oft, and most in dreams ill-matching words and deeds long past or late. Okay, dreams are weird. Some such resemblances methinks I find of our last evening's talk in this thy dream, line 115. But with addition strange, yet be not sad. Okay, he's going to say, don't worry, honey. Evil into the mind of God or man may come and go so unapproved, and leave not spot or blame behind, which gives me hope that what in sleep thou didst abhor to dream, line 120, waking thou wilt never consent to do. Okay, if you are ashamed of this in your dream, don't worry, honey. You'll never do it while you're awake. Be not disheartened then, nor cloud those looks that want to be more cheerful and serene than when fair morning first smiles on the world, and let us to our fresh employments rise, line 125, among the groves, the fountains, and the flowers that open now their choicest bosomed smells, reserved from night and kept for thee in store. Okay, let's go back to work in the garden. Everything's just been waiting for you. So cheered he his fair spouse, and she was cheered, but silently a gentle tear let fall from either eye, and wiped him with her hair. Two other precious drops that ready stood, each in their crystal sluice, he, ere they fell, kissed as the gracious signs of sweet remorse. So Adam kisses away her tears, and pious awe that feared to have offended, line 135, and so Adam is hoping he has not offended his dear wife. So all was cleared, and to the field they haste, but first, from under shady arborous roof, soon as they forth were come to open sight of dayspring, and the sun, who scarce uprisen with wheels yet hovering about over the ocean brim, line 40, and of course wheels hovering above the ocean brim, this is a classical allusion to the god riding the chariot up out of the ocean in the morning and down into the Helios, the sun god, down into the ocean at night, with wheels yet hovering over the ocean brim, line 140, shoot parallel to the earth his dewy ray, discovering in wide landscape all the east of paradise and Eden's happy plains. Lowly they bowed, adoring, and began their orisons. Now they're beginning their morning worship. Each morning duly paid, line 145, in various style, for neither various style nor holy rapture lacked they to praise their Maker, in fit strains pronounced or sung unmeditated, such prompt eloquence flowed from their lips, in prose or numerous verse, line 150, more tunable than needed lute or harp to add more sweetness, and they thus began, and they're singing. These are thy glorious works, parent of good, almighty, thine this universal frame, thus wondrous fair, thyself how wondrous then, line 155. Unspeakable who sittest above these heavens, to us invisible or dimly seen in these thy lowest works, yet these declare thy goodness beyond thought and power divine. Speak ye who best can tell, ye sons of light, line 160. Angels, for ye behold him, and with songs and choral symphonies, day without night, circle his throne rejoicing. Ye in heaven on earth join all ye creatures to extol him first, him last, him midst, and without end, 165. Fairest of stars, last in the train of night, if better thou belong not to the dawn, sure pledge of day, that crownst the smiling morn with thy bright circlet, praise him in thy sphere while day arises, that sweet hour of prime, line 170. Thou son of this great world, both eye and soul, acknowledge him thy greater, sound his praise in thy eternal course, both when thou climbest, and when high noon hast gained, and when thou fallest. Moon, that now meetest the orient sun, now fliest with the fixed stars, fixed in their orb that flies, and ye five other wandering fires that move in mystic dance, not without song, resound his praise, who out of darkness called up light. Line 180. Air, and ye elements, the eldest birth of nature's womb, these are the four elements, that in quaternion run, perpetual cycle, multiform and mix and nourish all things, let your ceaseless change vary to our great Maker still new praise. Ye mists and exhalations that now rise, line 185, from hill or steaming lake, dusky or gray, till the sun paint your fleecy skirts with gold, in honor to the world's great author, rise. Whether to deck with clouds the uncolored sky, or wet the thirsty earth with falling showers, line 190. Rising or falling, still advance his praise, ye winds, that from four quarters blow. Breathe soft or loud, and wave your tops, ye pines, with every plant in sign of worship awe. Fountains, and ye that warble as you flow, melodious murmurs, warbling, tune his praise. Join voices, all ye living souls, ye birds that singing up to heaven gate ascend, bear on your wings and in your notes his praise, ye that in waters glide, the little fish, and ye that walk the earth and stately tread or lowly creep, witness if I be silent, morn or even, to hill or valley, fountain or fresh shade made vocal by my song and taught his praise. Hail, universal Lord, line 205. Be bounteous still to give us only good, and if the night have gathered aught, anything, of evil or concealed, disperse it, as now light dispels the dark. So prayed they, innocent, and to their thoughts firm peace recovered soon and wonted calm. On to their morning's rural work they haste, among sweet dews and flowers, where any row of fruit trees over woody reached too far their pampered boughs, and needed hands to check fruitless embraces. Or they led the vine to wed her elm. She espoused about him, twines her marriageable arms. Okay, so they're helping the vine to wind around the elm, and using imagery here as though they are married. And with her brings her dowry adopted clusters to adorn his barren leaves. Them thus employed, beheld with pity heaven's high king, line 220, and to him called Raphael, the sociable spirit. God, he is heaven's high king, so God is watching them working, and he pities them, and he's calling for Raphael. I love this. Raphael is called the sociable spirit. So if you need to send a messenger down to talk with Adam, send the sociable angel, Raphael, that deigned to travel with Tobias and secured his marriage with the seven times wedded maid. This, of course, is imagery to the Apocrypha. Raphael, said he, thou hearest what stir on earth, Satan from hell, scaped through the darksome gulf, hath raised in paradise, and how disturbed this night the human pair, how he designs in them at once to ruin all mankind. Go, therefore, half this day, as friend with friend, converse with Adam. Line 230. In what bower or shade thou findest him, from the heat of noon retired, to respite his day labor with repast, which is lunch. So wherever you find Adam, go spend half a day with him. Wherever you find him retiring at noon from the heat of the day, with a repast, which is a snack or a food, or with repose, taking a nap, and such discourse bring on, as may advise him of his happy state. Happiness in his power left free to will, and of course these are God's instructions to Raphael, line 235, left to his own free will, his will though free, yet mutable. Okay, tell him he does have free will, but it is mutable. Whence warn him to beware, he swerve not too secure. Tell him not to think he's too safe. Tell him withal his danger, and from whom, what enemy, late fallen himself from heaven, is plotting now the fall of others from like state of bliss, line 241. By violence, no, for that shall be withstood, but by deceit and lies. Tell him Satan's not going to attack him with an army. He's going to come in to deceive him and lie to him. This let him know, lest willfully transgressing he pretend, surprisal, unadmonished, unforewarned. Line 245. So God, of course, knows Adam will fall, but he's trying to do everything he can to give Adam every chance. And so he's going to send Raphael, the sociable spirit, to go and tell him, someone's going to come in and try to deceive you and lie to you to make you fall, so that if he willfully transgresses, line 244, he cannot pretend to be surprised or, oh, you didn't warn me. So spake the Eternal Father, and fulfilled all justice. Nor delayed the winged saint after his charge received, but from among thousand celestial ardors where he stood veiled with his gorgeous wings, up springing light flew through the midst of heaven, the angelic choirs on each hand parting, to his speed gave way through all the imperial road, till at the gate of heaven arrived, the gate self opened wide, on golden hinges turning, so the heaven's gates open for him automatically. Maybe he's got the garage opener. As by work, line 255, as by work divine the sovereign architect has framed. From hence, no cloud, or to obstruct his sight, star interposed, however small he sees, not unconformed to other shining globes, earth and the garden of God, with cedars crowned above all hills. As when by night the glass of Galileo, it is possible historically that Milton met Galileo. As when by night the glass, telescope of Galileo, less absurd, observes imagined lands and regions in the moon, or pilot from amidst the Cyclades, Delos, or Samos, first appearing, kens, knows, sees, a cloudy spot. Down hither, prone in flight, he speeds, and through the vast ethereal sky sails between worlds and worlds, with steady wing, now on the polar wings, then with quick fan winnows the buxom air, line 270. So this is all imagery of Raphael soaring down to the earth, till within soar of towering eagles, to all the fowls he seems a phoenix, gazed by all, and here we have another Homeric simile, what does he look like? To all the other birds, he looks like a phoenix, huge, as that sole bird, when to enshrine his relics in the sun's bright temple, to Egyptian Thebes he flies. At once on the eastern cliffs of paradise he lights, and to his proper shape returns, a seraph winged. Six wings he wore, to shade his lineaments divine. The pair that clad each shoulder broad, came mantling over his breast with regal ornament. The middle pair, line 280, girt like a starry zone his waist, and round skirted his loins and thighs with downy gold and colors dipped in heaven. The third, his feet, shadowed from either heel and with feathered mail, sky-tinctured grain. So it looks like chainmail made out of feathers. Line 285, like Maya's son he stood. Now this is classical imagery. Maya's son was Mercury or Hermes, who is the messenger god, and so it is appropriate to refer to Raphael as Maya's son. Like Maya's son he stood and shook his plumes, that heavenly fragrance filled the circuit wide. Straight knew him all the bands of angels under watch, and to his state and to his message high in honor rise. So all the other angels rise to acknowledge his presence. Presence, line 290, for on some message high they guessed him bound. Their glittering tents he passed, and now is come into the blissful field, through groves of myrrh and flowering odors, cassia, nard, and balm, of wilderness, a wilderness of sweets. For nature here wantoned as in her prime, and played at will her virgin fancies, pouring forth more sweet, wild above rule or art, enormous bliss. Him through the spicy forest onward, come Adam, discerned. So Raphael now spots Adam. As in the door he sat of his cool bower, while now the mounted sun shot down direct his fervid rays, so it's at noon when the sun is shining straight down and Adam is resting outside his bower, to warm earth's inmost womb, that's line 302, more warmth than Adam needs, and Eve within, do at her hour, prepared for dinner savory fruits, of taste to please true appetite, and not disrelish thirst of nectarous draughts between, from milky stream, berry, or grape, to whom thus Adam called, haste hither, Eve, and worth thy sight, behold, eastward among the trees, what glorious shape comes this way moving. Oh my goodness, come here, Eve, quick, look and see what's coming. Seems another morn, line 310, risen in mid-noon, some great behest from heaven to us perhaps he brings, and will vouchsafe this day to be our guest. Will perhaps be our guest. But go with speed, and what thy stores contain, okay, whatever you have in the pantry, bring forth and pour abundance. fit to honor and receive our heavenly stranger. Well, we may afford our givers their own gifts, and large bestow from large bestowed. Okay, our givers, the heavenly has given us everything we have, so it's good for us to give them what we have. Where nature multiplies her fertile growth, and by disburdening grows more fruitful, which instructs us not to spare. So be generous is the moral here. Line 320. To whom thus Eve? Adam, earth's hallowed mold of God inspired. Okay, because Adam is made in the image of God. Small store will serve, where store all seasons ripe for use hangs on the stalk. Okay, even though we don't have much, doesn't matter because everything just hangs on the stalk for us. Save what by frugal storing firmness gains to nourish and superfluous moist consumes. Okay, except what rots. Superfluous, too much, moist consumes. So except what rots. Line 325. But I will haste, and from each bough and brake, each plant and juiciest gourd, will pluck such choice to entertain our angel guest, as he beholding shall confess that here on earth God hath dispensed his bounties as in heaven. You can imagine Eve, I guess she doesn't need a little apron yet, but next chapter or two she'll be needing a little apron to cover up with. But here she's answering that literally she's going to prepare a meal to impress heaven. It was line 330. He'll have to confess that here on earth God hath dispensed his bounties as in heaven. We have just as good a stuff here on earth as in heaven. So she's very proud of what she's going to prepare. So saying, with dispatchful looks in haste she turns, on hospitable thoughts intent, what choice to choose? What choice to choose for delicacy best? What order so contrived as not to mix tastes, not well joined in elegant, but bring taste after taste upheld with kindliest change? So she's planning what to serve with what. Line 335 and 36. You would not want to serve chocolate with strawberries, for example, unless we're in 2007. Bestirs her then, and from each tender stalk, whatever earth all-bearing mother yields, in India, east or west, or middle shore, in Pontus or the Punic coast, or where Alcinous reigned, this is right out of the Odyssey, fruit of all kinds, in coat, rough, or smooth rind, or bearded husk, these are all the different types of outer layers that fruits have, or shell she gathers, tribute large, and on the board, her tray, heaps with unsparing hand, for drink the grape she crushes, inoffensive must, and meats from many a berry and from sweet kernels pressed, she tempers dulcet creams, nor these to hold wants lacks, her fit vessels pure, then strews the ground with rose and odors from the shrub unfumed. Line 350. Meanwhile, our primitive great sire, this is an epithet for Adam, so Adam is gone to greet the angel, to meet his godlike guest, walks forth without more train. King is accompanied by a train. These are all the people who follow you behind. His godlike guest, line 351, walks forth without more train accompanied than with his own complete perfections. In himself was all his state, more solemn than the tedious pomp that waits on princes, when their rich retinue long of horses led and grooms besmeared with gold dazzles the crowd and sets them all agape. All right, so Adam walking forth to greet Raphael, stark naked, is more impressive because he's created in the image of God than a king with a train with all of this retinue with horses and people dressed in gold. Nearer his presence, Adam, though not awed, yet with submiss approach and reverence meek, as to a superior nature, of course this is part of the great chain, line 360, bowing low, thus said, so this is Adam speaking to Raphael, native of heaven, for other place none can than heaven such glorious shape contain, since by descending from the thrones above, those happy places thou hast deigned a while to want, to lack or be gone from, and honor these, line 365, vouchsafe with us two only, perhaps with us two only, who yet by sovereign gift possess this spacious ground, in yonder shady bower to rest, and what the garden choicest bears to sit and taste, till this meridian midday heat be over and the sun more cool decline, line 370. Perhaps you could come sit with us and wait till the heat of the day is past. Whom thus the angelic virtue answered mild, so Raphael is now answering Adam, Adam, I therefore came, nor art thou such created, or such place hast here to dwell, as may not oft invite, though spirits of heaven to visit thee, lead on then where thy bower o'ershades, for these mid-hours, till evening rise, I have at will. So he says, yes, lead on to your bower during this part of the day. I have until evening. I can do what I please. So to the Sylvan Lodge they came, that, like, another simile, Pomona's arbor smiled with flowerets decked and fragrant smells, but Eve, undecked, okay, she is also stark naked, undecked, save with herself more lovely fair than wood nymph, or the fairest godden, feigned of three that in Mount Ida naked strove, stood to entertain her guest from heaven. Ah, look at this classical allusion, line 3, 8, 2, and 3. Who are the three goddesses who strove on Mount Ida? This is the judgment of Paris when the goddess of discord, Ate, threw in an apple from the Garden of Hesperides, a golden apple, and said it was for the fairest, and we had Aphrodite, Hera, and Athena all clamoring to grab this apple. Each promised Paris something wonderful if he would choose them. And of course, Paris chose Aphrodite as the fairest, and she promised him in return the most beautiful woman in the world, who was Helen, who happened to already be married to the Greek Menelaus. So she ran off with Paris to Troy, and there we have the story of the beginning of the Trojan War. So this imagery is saying that Eve, in her classic beauty, just exactly the way God made her, was more lovely fair, line 380, than any of those three goddesses. So she stood to entertain her guest from heaven. No veil she needed, virtue proof, no thought infirm altered her cheek, line 385, on whom the angel, hail. All right, this hail is very similar to this is Raphael greeting Eve with hail. Now, in Luke 2, I believe 42, the angel Gabriel will also go to Mary and say, hail. On whom the angel hail bestowed, the holy salutation used long after to bless Mary, second Eve. Hail, mother of mankind, whose fruitful womb shall fill the world more numerous with thy sons than with these various fruits the trees of God have heaped this table. You're going to have more children than all the food on this table. Raised of grassy turf their table was, and mossy seats had round, and on her ample square from side to side all autumn piled, though spring and autumn here danced hand in hand. Okay, the weather's always perfect. A wild discourse they hold. They talk for a while, line 395. No fear lest dinner cool, when thus began our author, who is Adam. Heavenly stranger, please to taste these bounties which our nourisher, God, from whom all perfect good unmeasured out descends, to us for food and for delight hath caused the earth to yield. So taste everything God has given us, line 400. Unsavory food perhaps to spiritual natures, only this I know, that one celestial father gives to all. And now Raphael speaks to Adam, to whom the angel, therefore, what he gives, whose praise be ever sung, to man in part spiritual, may of purest spirits be found no ingrateful food, and food alike those pure intelligential substances require, as doth your rational, and both contain within them every lower faculty, line 410, of sense, whereby they hear, see, smell, touch, taste, tasting, concoct, digest, assimilate, and corporeal to incorporeal turn. For know, whatever was created needs to be sustained and fed of elements, these are the four elements, the grosser feeds the purer, earth the sea, earth and the sea feed air, the air those fires ethereal, and is lowest first the moon, whence in her visage round, those spots unpurged, vapors not yet into her substance turned. Line 420. Line 421. Nor doth the moon no nourishment exhale from her moist continent to higher orbs. The sun, that light imparts to all, receives from all his eliminental recompense in human exhalations, and at even sups with the ocean. Though in heaven the trees of life ambrosial fruitage bear, and vines yield nectar, though from off the boughs each morn we brush mellifluous dews and find the ground covered with pearly grain, yet God hath here varied his bounty so with new delights as may compared with heaven, and to taste think not I shall be nice. So down they sat, and to their viands fell. Their viands is their snack. Raphael is telling him how Things are very similar here as they are in heaven. So down they sat, and to their viands fell, nor seemingly the angel, nor in mist, the common gloss of theologians, but with keen dispatch of real hunger and concoctive heat to transubstantiate what redounds, transpires, through spirits with ease, nor wonder if by fire of sooty coal the empiric alchemist can turn, or holds it possible to turn metals of drossiest ore to perfect gold as from the mine. So these are the things that they are discussing. Adam wants to know, is it possible to take something like ore and turn it into gold? Meanwhile, at table, Eve ministered naked, and their flowing cups with pleasant liquors crowned. Of innocence, O innocence, deserving paradise, if ever then had the sons of God excuse to have been enamored at that sight, but in those hearts love unlibidinous reigned, nor jealousy was understood, the injured lover's hell. Thus, when with meats and drinks they had sufficed, not burdened nature, sudden mind arose in Adam not to let the occasion pass, given him by this great conference to know of things above his world, and of their being who dwell in heaven. So they have finished their discussion of the sons of God. That was line 447. Then had the sons of God excuse to have been enamored at that sight. And Milton here is referring to Genesis 6, 1-4. Those Nephilim, the sons of God, if they had seen Eve then they would have had cause to want to come down to these daughters of men. And Adam realizes here, down in 455, that he has a chance to ask all the questions he wants. Whose excellence he saw, line 456, transcend his own so far, whose radiant forms divine effulgence, whose high power so far exceeded human, and his wary speech thus to the imperial minister he framed. So he's getting ready to say, to speak now to the angel, to Raphael. Inhabitant with God, now know I well thy favor, and this honor due to man, under whose lowly roof thou hast vouchsafed to enter, and these earthly fruits to taste, food not of angels yet accepted so, as that more willingly thou couldst not seem at heaven's high feast to have fed. Yet what compare? So Adam says, I know that I have your favor because I'm just a man and you've come under my lowly roof and considered to enter here and eat these earthly things and acted like you couldn't have anything better, but what compares? Okay, what's it like? To whom the winged hierarch replied, O Adam, one Almighty is, from whom all things proceed, and up to him return, if not depraved from good, created all, such to perfection, one first matter all, endued with various forms, various degrees of substance, and in things that live of life, but more refined, more spiritous, and pure, as nearer to him placed or nearer tending, each in their several active spheres assigned, till body up to spirit work in bounds proportioned to each kind. So from the root springs lighter the green stalk, from whence the leaves more airy last the bright consummate flower, spirit's odorous breeze, flowers and their fruit man's nourishment, by gradual scale sublimed, to vital spirits aspire. These are the elements, the vital spirits. And you notice that Raphael is using language here about degrees and order. So he says, well, we're closer to God, so we're more pure. You're a little further out, and so you're more like the, you are like the consummate flower. Line 485. To animal, to intellectual, both give life and sense, fancy and understanding. Hence the soul reason receives, and reason is her being. Discursive or intuitive, discourse is oftest yours. The latter most is ours. Okay? So mostly people do the latter, which is the discourse, and the angels have the intuitive, they know. Differing but in degree, of kind the same. Wonder not then what God for you saw good if I refuse not, but convert as you to proper substance. Time may come when men with angels may participate, and find no inconvenient diet, nor too light fare, and from these corporal nutriments perhaps your bodies may at last turn all to spirit. Okay, maybe eventually you could become a spirit too. Improved by track of time and winged ascend, ethereal as we, or may at choice here or in the heavenly paradises dwell. If ye be found obedient, and retain unalterably firm his love entire, whose progeny you are, meanwhile enjoy your fill, what happiness this happy state can comprehend, incapable of more. I'm not sure what Milton thinks we could become, but he does say, enjoy this life in the flesh while you can. Line 506. To whom the patriarch of mankind, and this is an epithet for Adam, he is the patriarch of mankind, replied, O favorable spirit, propitious guest, well hast thou taught the way that might direct our knowledge, and the scale of nature set from center to circumference. And of course, the scale of nature is another reference to that chain of being, and this belief that Milton is part of, that everything has a place in this great chain. And the scale of nature set from center to circumference, whereon, line 510, in contemplation of created things, by steps we may ascend to God. But say, what meant that caution joined? If ye be found obedient. Can we want obedience? Can we lack obedience then to him? Or possibly his love desert, who formed us from the dust and placed us here, full to the uttermost measure of what bliss human desires can seek or apprehend? How could we ever be disobedient? So Adam is saying, why did you caution us, if you be found obedient? To whom the angel said, line 519, Son of heaven and earth, attend, listen, that thou art happy, O to God, that thou continuest such, O to thyself, that is, to thy obedience, therein stand. This was that caution given thee, be advised, God made thee perfect, not immutable, not unchangeable. And good he made thee, but to persevere he left it in thy power, ordained thy will by nature free, not overruled by fate inextricable or strict necessity. Our voluntary service he requires, not our necessitated. Okay? God requires that we obey willingly. Such with him finds no acceptance, nor can find. For how can hearts not free be tried whether they serve willing or no? Who will but what they must by destiny, and can no other choose? Myself and all the angelic host that stand in sight of God enthroned, our happy state hold, as you yours, while our obedience holds. On other surety, none. Freely we serve, because we freely love, as in our will to love or not. In this we stand or fall, line 540. And some are fallen. To disobedience fallen, and so from heaven to deepest hell. Oh, fall from what high state of bliss into what woe. And now we have another epithet for Adam, to whom our great progenitor, thy words attentive, and with more delighted ear, divine instructor, I have heard than when cherubic songs by night from neighboring hills aerial music send, nor knew I not to be both will and deed created free, yet that we never shall forget to love our Maker, and obey him whose command single is yet so just. My constant thoughts assured me, and still assure, that though what thou tellest hath passed in heaven, some doubt within me move, but more desire to hear, if thou consent, line 555, the full relation, which must needs be strange, worthy of sacred silence to be heard. And we have yet large day, for scarce the sun hath finished half his journey. So Adam is saying, I'm fascinated by this story of some are fallen, line 541, to disobedience fallen. And he says, we have more than half the day. I will sit here in sacred silence if you will tell me the story. So the sun has half finished half his journey, and scarce begins his other half in the great zone of heaven. Thus Adam made request, and Raphael, after short pause assenting, thus began. Now, Raphael is going to tell his part of the story, and this is his epic poem. High matter thou enjoinest me, O prime of men. This is another epithet for Adam, O prime of men. Sad task and hard, for how shall I relate to human sense the invisible exploits of warring spirit? How without remorse the ruin of so many glorious once, and perfect while they stood, how last unfold the secrets of another world, perhaps not lawful to reveal. Yet, for thy good this is dispensed, and what surmounts the reach of human sense I shall delineate. So, by likening spiritual to corporal forms, as may express them best, though what if earth be but the shadow of heaven, and things therein each to other like, more than on earth is thought? As yet, this world was not, and chaos wild reigned where these heavens now roll, where earth now rests upon her center poised, when on a day, for time, though in eternity applied to motion, measures all things durable by present, past, and future. On such day as heaven's great year brings forth, the imperial host of angels, by imperial summons called, innumerable before the Almighty's throne, forthwith from all the ends of heaven appeared under their hierarchs in orders bright. Okay, so there was a day, and the hierarchy of angels, so those who are most important, they're all lined up according to order. 10,000 ensigns, these are banners, high advanced standards and gonfalons twixt van and rear stream in the air, and for distinction serve of hierarchies of orders and degrees. So these banners tell where they are in the hierarchy. Or in their glittering tissues bear emblazoned holy memorials, acts of zeal and love recorded eminent. Thus when in orbs of circuit inexpressible they stood, orb within orb, the Father Infinite, by whom in bliss embosomed sat the Son, amidst, as from a flaming mount, whose top brightness had made invisible, thus spake, line 600, Hear, all ye angels, progeny of light, thrones, dominations, princedoms, virtues, powers, hear my decree, which unrevoked shall stand. This day I have begot, whom I declare my only Son. This, I should point out, is one of Milton's heresies. This is in Book 5, line 603, and Milton declares that here he has begotten his Son, rather than the Son existing from the beginning. But normally you wouldn't catch that. This day I have begot, whom I declare my only Son, and on this holy hill him have anointed, line 605, whom ye now behold at my right hand. Your head I him appoint, and by myself has sworn to him, shall bow all knees in heaven, and shall confess him Lord. Under his great vice-regent reign, abide united as one individual soul, forever happy. Him who disobeys me, disobeys. Him who disobeys me, disobeys. If you disobey the Son, you disobey God. Breaks union, and that day cast out from God and blessed vision falls into utter darkness, deep engulfed, his place ordained without redemption, without end. Line 615. So spake the Omnipotent, and with his words all seemed well pleased. All seemed, but were not all. This is a touch of foreshadowing. All seems well, but it's not. That day, as other solemn days, they spent in song and dance about the sacred hill, mystical dance which yonder starry sphere of planets and fixed in all her wheels resembles nearest. Okay, so Raphael's telling the story of all things to Adam, and he's pointing at something and said, they spent singing and dancing, a mystic dance, it kind of looks like that. Mazes intricate, eccentric, intervolved, yet regular, then most, when most irregular they seem, as in their motions harmony divine, so smooths her charming tones, that God's own ear listens delighted. Evening now approached, for we have also our evening and our morn, we ours for change delectable, not need. So Raphael says, we also have evening and morning, not because we need it. We don't need the sun to go down to rest like you do, just to make it delectable, more enjoyable. Line 630. Forthwith from dance to sweet repast they turn desirous, all in circles as they stood. Tables are set, and on a sudden piled with angels' food, and rubied nectar flows in pearl and diamond and massy gold, fruit of delicious vines, the growth of heaven. Line 635. Of flowers reposed, and with fresh flowerets crowned, they eat, they drink, and in communion sweet, quaff immortality and joy, secure of surfeit where full measure only bounds excess, before the all-bounteous king, who showered with copious hand, rejoicing in their joy. Now, when ambrosial night, with clouds exhaled from that high mount of God, whence light and shade spring both, the face of brightest heaven had changed to grateful twilight, for night comes not there in darker veil, that we only get twilight. Line 645. and roseate dews disposed all but the unsleeping eyes of God to rest, wide over all the plain, and wider far than all this globous earth, in plain outspread. Such are the courts of God. The angelic throng, line 650, dispersed in bands and files their camp extend, by living streams among the trees of life, pavilions numberless and sudden reared celestial tabernacles where they slept fanned with cool winds, save those who in their coarse melodious hymns about the sovereign throne alternate all night long. But not so waked Satan. So call him now. His former name is heard no more in heaven. He of the first, if not the first archangel, great in power. Line 660. In favor and preeminence, yet fraught with envy against the Son of God. So this is Satan's problem, envious against the Son of God. That day, honored by his great Father and proclaimed Messiah, King anointed, could not bear through pride that sight and thought himself impaired. So when God announced Christ to be his Son, that was what caused Satan to fall. He could not stand it, and he thought himself impaired. He thought it made him less. Deep malice hence conceiving and disdain, soon as midnight brought on the dusky hour, friendliest to sleep and silence, he resolved with all his legions to dislodge and leave unworshipped, unobeyed, the throne supreme. Line 670. So Lucifer is planning the revolt. Contemptuous, and his next subordinate, awakening, thus to him in secret spake, "Sleepest thou, companion dear? What sleep can close thy eyelids? And rememberest what decree of yesterday? So late hath passed the lips of heaven's Almighty. Thou to me thy thoughts wast wont, I mine to thee wast wont to import. Both waking we were one. How then can now thy sleep dissent? New laws thou seest imposed, new laws from him who reigns, new minds may raise, line 680, in us who serve, new counsels to debate what doubtful may ensue. More in this place to utter is not safe. Assemble thou of all those myriads which we lead the chief. Tell them that by command, ere yet dim night, line 685, her shadowy cloud withals, I am to haste, and all who under me their banners wave, homeward with flying march where we possess the quarters of the north, there to prepare fit entertainment to receive our King, the great Messiah. Line 690. And so under cover of the night, Satan says, go tell everyone that I command to meet with me here in the dim of the night, and go to the place where we meet in the quarters of the north, and tell them we're preparing entertainment to receive our King, the great Messiah, and his new commands, who speedily through all the hierarchies intend to pass triumphant and give laws. So spake the false archangel, and infused bad influence on the unwary breast of his associate. He together calls, or several one by one, the regent powers. Under him regent tells, as he was taught, that the Most High commanding, now ere night, now ere dim night, had disencumbered heaven, the great hierarchical standard was to move, tells the suggested cause, and casts between ambiguous words and jealousies, to sound or taint integrity. So as they're telling people to meet between line 700 and 705, they are giving a suggested cause, and they're casting ambiguous words, words that could be taken two ways. And they're testing to see if there's jealousy, and they're sounding out to see if there's a taint of integrity, as though integrity is a bad thing. But all obeyed the wanted signal, and superior voice, line 705, of their great potentate, for great indeed his name, and high was his degree in heaven. So Lucifer was a very high-ranking angel. And this is, remember, Raphael telling Adam, his countenance, as the morning star that guides the starry flock, allured them and with lies drew after him the third part of heaven's host. Remember, Satan is a liar. With lies drew after him the third part of heaven's host. Line 710. Meanwhile, the eternal eye, whose sight discerns abstrusest thoughts. Okay, so God knows of the rebellion. God's watching. Meanwhile, the eternal eye, that's God. from forth his holy mountain, from within the golden lamps that burn nightly before him, saw without their light rebellion rising, saw in whom, how spread among the sons of morn, what multitudes were banded to oppose his high decree, and smiling to his only son, thus said, Son, thou in whom my glory I behold in full resplendence, heir of all my might, nearly it now concerns us to be sure of our omnipotence, and with what arms we mean to hold what anciently we claim of deity or empire. Such a foe is rising, who intends to erect his throne, 9725, equal to ours, throughout the spacious north, nor so content hath in his thought to try in battle what our power is, or our right. Let us advise, and to this hazard draw with speed what force is left, and all employ in our defense, lest unawares we lose this our high place, our sanctuary, our hill. To whom the sun, with calm aspect and clear lightning divine, ineffable, serene, made answer, Mighty Father, thou thy foes justly hast in derision, and secure laughest at their vain designs and tumults vain. Matter to me of glory, whom their hate illustrates when they see all regal power given me to quell their pride, 9740, and in event, know whether I be dexterous to subdue thy rebels or to be found the worst in heaven. So spake the sun. But Satan, with his powers far, was advanced on winged speed, and host innumerable as the stars of night, or stars of morning, dewdrops which the sun impearls on every leaf and every flower, regions they passed, the mighty regencies of seraphim and potentates, and thrones in their triple degrees, regions to which all thy dominion, Adam, is no more. So Raphael interrupts his story to share a comparison with Adam. Regions to which all thy dominion, Adam, so this earth, Adam, is no more than what this garden is to all the earth. Okay, so in comparison, it's just a little piece. And all the sea, from one entire globose, stretched into longitude, which having passed at length into the limits of the north they came, and Satan to his royal seat, high on a hill, far blazing, as a mount raised on a mount, with pyramids and towers from diamond quarries hewn, and rocks of gold, the palace of great Lucifer. Line 760. So call that structure, in the dialect of men interpreted. Which not long after he, affecting all equality with God, in imitation of that mount wherein Messiah was declared in sight of heaven, line 765, the mountain of the congregation called, for hither he assembled all his train, pretending, so commanded, to consult about the great reception of their king, hither to come and with calumnious art of counterfeited truth thus held their ears. Thrones, dominions, princedoms, virtues, powers, if these magnificent titles yet remain, not merely titular, since by decree another now hath to himself engrossed all power, and us eclipsed, okay, someone else has just taken all the power and made us nothing, and us eclipsed under the name of King Anointed, for whom all this haste of midnight march and hurried meeting here, this only to consult, how we may best, with what may be devised of honors new, receive him coming to receive from us knee tribute, okay, get down on their knees to honor him, yet unpaid, prostration vile, too much to one, but double how endured. It's already too much to kneel down to God, but double? If they have to kneel to God and to the Son, how can they endure that? To one and to his image now proclaimed? But what if better counsels might erect our minds and teach us to cast off this yoke? Will you submit your necks and choose to bend the supple knee? To bow down? Ye will not, if I trust to know ye right, or if ye know yourselves, native and sons of heaven possessed before by none, and if not equal all, yet free, equally free, for orders and degrees jar not with liberty, but well consist. Who can in reason then or right assume monarchy over such as live by right his equals, if in power and splendor less, in freedom equal? Or can introduce law and edict on us, who without law err not, much less for this to be our Lord, and look for adoration to the abuse of those imperial titles which assert our being ordained to govern, not to serve? So Satan believes he's made to govern, not to serve. Thus far his bold discourse, without control, had audience. They're all listening to what he says. Until, when among the seraphim, Abdiel, than whom none with more zeal adored the deity, and divine commands obeyed, stood up, and in a flame of zeal severe, the current of his fury thus opposed. And now Abdiel, I call him Abdiel the Faithful, he's a seraphim, and he has a formal speech. He stands up. O argument blasphemous, false and proud, line 810, word which no ear ever to hear in heaven expected, least of all from thee, ingrate, in place thyself so high above thy peers. Canst thou with impious obloquy condemn the just decree of God, pronounced and sworn, that to his only son by right endured with regal scepter, every soul in heaven shall bend the knee, and in that honor do confess him rightful king? Unjust, thou sayest, flatly unjust, to bind with laws the free, and equal over equals to let reign, one over all with unsucceeded power. Shalt thou give law to God? Shalt thou dispute with him the points of liberty, who made thee what thou art, and formed the powers of heaven? Abdiel saying to Satan, God made you. Line 825, such as he pleased, and circumscribed their being, yet by experience taught we know how good and of our good, and of our dignity how provident he is, how far from thought to make us less, bent rather to exalt our happy state under one head, more near united. Okay, God's doing all this to make us happier, not miserable. But to grant it thee unjust, that equal over equals monarch reign, thyself though great and glorious dost thou count, or all angelic nature joined in one, equal to him begotten son, by whom, as by his word, the mighty Father made all things, even thee, and all the spirits of heaven by him created in their bright degrees, crowned them with glory, and to their glory named thrones, dominions, princedoms, virtues, powers, line 840, essential powers, nor by his reign obscured, but must more illustrious made. Okay, he didn't make you less, he made you more with this. Since he, the head, one of our number, thus reduced, becomes. Okay? Now, here we have a little bit of a theological problem. Since he, the head, one of our numbers, thus reduced, becomes. If Milton is implying here that the Son was an angel and then was proclaimed to be the Son, got a promotion and became the Son, since he was made the head, he reduces our number. There aren't more of us for competition, there are less. If this is what Milton is saying here, then we have quite a heresy. This is common to Jehovah's Witnesses, and I'm not sure which other cults. I have not read that this was one of his heresies, but I had spotted this. His law, our laws, all honor to him done, returns our own. Cease then this impious rage, and tempt not these, but hasten to appease the incensed father and the incensed son, while pardon may be found, in time besought. So Abdiel, like a good angel, is imploring them to repent while they still can. So spake the fervent angel, but his zeal none seconded. He stands alone, as out of season judged, line 850, or singular and rash, whereat rejoiced the apostate. That is an epithet for Satan, and more haughty thus replied. So Satan is speaking now to Abdiel. That we were formed then, sayest thou, and the work of secondary hands, by task transferred from father to his son, strange point and new, line 855, doctrine which we would know whence learnt. Okay, where did you learn this? Where do you think we were created? We were formed? When this creation was, rememberest thou thy making while the maker gave thee being? We know no time when we were not as now, no, none before us, self-begot. Line 860. Satan claims he made himself. Self-raised by our own quickening power, when fatal course hath circled his full orb, the birth mature of this our native heaven, ethereal suns. Our puissance is our own. Our own right hand shall teach us highest deeds, by proof to try who is our equal. Then thou shalt behold whether by supplication we intend address, and to begirt the almighty throne, beseeching or besieging. This report, these tidings carry to the anointed king, and fly, ere evil intercept thy flight. In other words, get out of here quick while you can. And you just wait and see what we're going to do around the almighty throne. Line 868, whether we're beseeching, which is when you would say, I beseech thee to forgive us, or besieging, when you siege a city. He said, and as the sound of water's deep, hoarse murmur echoed to his words, applause through the infinite host, nor less for that the flaming seraph, fearless, though alone, line 875, encompassed round with foes, thus answered bold. And so here we see the brave Abdiel again, and now he realizes he has not a friend in the group. And if Satan is correct, we have a third of the host of heaven. So he is really standing alone. O alienate from God, O spirit accursed, forsaken of all good, I see thy fall determined, and thy hapless crew involved in this perfidious fraud, contagion spread both of thy crime and punishment. Henceforth no more be troubled how to quit the yoke of God's Messiah. Those indulgent laws will not be now vouchsafed. Other decrees against thee are gone forth without recall. Okay, it's too late. Line 885. That golden scepter which thou didst reject is now an iron rod to bruise and break thy disobedience. And of course, more references here to Genesis. Well thou didst advise, yet not for thy advice or threats I fly. Okay, you advise me well to get out of here, but I'm not leaving because you told me to. Not yet for thy advice or threats I fly these wicked tents devoted, lest the wrath impendent, raging into sudden flame, distinguish not. I'm going to get out of here, not because you're scaring me. I'm getting out of here because I think God is going to send a thunderball and maybe it won't realize I'm a good angel. Okay, I'm going to get out before you get punished. For soon expect to feel his thunder on thy head, devouring fire. Then who created thee, lamenting, learn. Okay, then you're going to know who made you. When who can uncreate thee, thou shalt know. So God can uncreate him. So spake the seraph Abdiel, faithful found among the faithless, faithful only he among innumerable false, unmoved, unshaken, unseduced, unterrified, his loyalty he kept, his love, his zeal, nor number, nor example with him wrought to serve from truth, or change his constant mind, though single. From amidst them forth he passed, long way through hostile scorn, which he sustained superior, nor of violence feared aught, feared nothing. And with retorted scorn his back he turned on those proud towers to swift destruction doomed. Raphael here concludes this part of his story to Adam, and that is the end of Book 5.